Great song. I'll be reading from John 1, verses 14 through 17. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, before he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ."
Last week, we considered the human struggle with truth. We looked at what the Bible says about God as the source of truth and about people who pervert God's truth. Michael McKinney observed, "Truth is an anchor, but we prefer opinions. We prefer stances that allow for relative values, giving us wiggle room. Personal preference means we don't have to think. We don't have to be unpopular. We can be lazy and avoid dealing with anything. We can rest on sentiment." Human experience has shown that God speaks and acts truthfully always. His word, the Bible, is truthful in every way. His laws and commands reveal his truth to us, whether we like it or agree with it or not. Psalm 96, verse 13 says, "God will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth." What that means for you and I in a very practical way is that we must know God's truth. But the question inevitably becomes, and very quickly, what is truth? That question is not new to us, not new to our culture or any culture. Unless we are clear about what it means for something to be true, any religious or moral claim on truth, Christian or otherwise, will perplex more than enlighten us. The dictionary defines true as faithful, loyal, constant, reliable, certain, factual, real. If we're uncertain about the truth of something, we need to research it to learn if it passes the truth definition. If we do not do that kind of research, then we cannot judge something as either truth or falsehood. We have no grounds to stand on. The lack of this research shows in Jesus' conversation with the Roman governor Pilate. Jesus had been arrested and brought to Pilate to be executed. In John chapter 18 and verses 33 on through verse 38, we find the conversation between Jesus and Pilate as they talked about truth. Pilate went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate responded. Pilate really didn't know. And we might look at Pilate and say, "Well, good grief, Pilate. Truth is standing right in front of you, embodied in Jesus. Truth has been all around you in terms of the law and the prophets and all the word of God that was given to the Jews. You should know what truth is." You know, we sometimes talk about and lament about how we lived in this multicultural society, this multi-ethnic society, this multi-religious society, as though this were something new. It's been that way a very long time. And Pilate lived in that kind of environment. He Here were all of these religious voices coming from different places, all saying that they were the truth. How could Pilate know what the truth was? Just like you and I, doing his research, finding out what met the truth definition. The Bible does not present truth as a cultural creation of the ancient Jews, nor does it present itself as a cultural creation of Christians. Instead, both receive truth from God, who speaks truth to his creatures. And they were expected by this God to conform themselves to his truth. The Samaritans had their own way of worshiping God, and they didn't worship exactly the way the Jews did. John chapter 4 and verses 19 through 24 records the conversation between Jesus and a woman about true worship of God. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." Truth is not something elusive. Truth is not something that is decided by a culture. Truth is not something that is ever changing. Truth instead is in a spiritual relationship to God. Truth is in a spiritual relationship to God. God alone, not people, determines what is acceptable and unacceptable, what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is untrue. In Isaiah 45 and verse 19, God declares, "I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right." That's a rather bold statement, isn't it? Who is God to say that? Well, he's God. He's God. God sees and knows how everything and everyone relates in the world that he has made. Because of who he is, God has the right and the knowledge to tell us what is true. And no one else really has that right. There is no one above him. There's no one with more insight, more wisdom, more knowledge than him. Who better to tell us what is true and right? When we consider who God is, and when we consider that he always tells humans the truth, it's crucial that John chapter 1 and verses 14 through 17, as Parker read moments ago, tell us that Jesus was sent by God full of grace and truth. That's not just an idle or passing statement. It's a crucial statement. God's history shows him to be full of grace toward imperfect, inconsistent human beings. But it also shows God being full of truth, wisely telling his children how to live. And we see that all the more when we realize the fact that when they failed to live as he called for them to, out of his wisdom and out of his love, they really got themselves into a mess. Human beings always have when we step aside from God's wisdom and God's love. So for Jesus to be God's son, he must have the Father's character and abilities. And these must be clearly seen by everyone around. This is why Jesus said of himself in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me or through me." Jesus makes himself the exclusive means to please God the Father and to be admitted to God's home forever. He also makes himself the exclusive source of truth and life. And so everything is in him. But Jesus didn't stop with that all-encompassing and exclusive statement about himself. Jesus taught truth that frees people from slavery to sin. He makes more such statements about himself and about God-revealed truth in John chapter 8 and in verses 31 on through verse 59. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" They lied because they had been slaves many times over. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in my father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would be doing the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did